Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Whatever the 49ers will pay Brandon Ayuk, who they really, really like as a player who they developed, all the way through, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a team that's willing to pay him more. That's actually not really the question. The question really is, does Brandon Ayuk want to stay in San Francisco with a team that's awesome and will probably be very good for a long time? Are they going to pay him the most in the NFL? Maybe not. They got a good team. They want to keep it together. But would it be enough to keep him? I'm kind of with you. I'm leaning more as of right now of him potentially staying, but this story has not yet been written fully at all.
Ian Rappaport, the latest on Brandon Ayuk.
What's a better situation for him?
There aren't many.
The Niners or the Bills? He says it there. The Niners are good and will probably be good for a long time, but you are not the focal point of the offense.
And you would wonder about Purdy, right? Purdy's good. There's no doubt Purdy is good.
But just how long that...
Yeah, what happens when...
That runs...
Well, this is a point about the Dolphins and Tua, right? The Dolphins have started to shed a lot of players and basically make space for when they extend Tua for $40 to $50 million. And the day Tua gets that extension, I know what social media is going to look like. It's going to look like Bills fans dunking on Miami. That guy's not worth it.
Yep.
And Purdy probably gets the same treatment. Derek Carr got huge money.
Yeah.
Doesn't deserve it. Is detrimental to your team to sign a guy to that much money. So with Ayuk... I don't know. Let's make it about Ayuk or about any elite receiver. What's the best scenario you can get? A passing offense with a stud quarterback who's going to throw it to you a lot and you're going to win games. And the Bills have been that during the Diggs era.
Yeah.
A stud quarterback who's going to throw you the ball a lot. You're going to lead the league and win a lot of games.
Like, their sales pitch should not be that hard.
No.
To some veteran stud receiver. If they're trying to, Ayuk would have a say in where he goes or leverage. And if they're trying to make your sales pitch, it's pretty easy. Just, you want to come be our new Diggs? Look how it went for that. Look how it went for that guy.
Think about DeAndre Hopkins asking who he would want to play for. Right? Like, they asked, and it was Mahomes, Allen, Burrow. It's a guy you might want to play with.
Yep.
Stroud might enter that conversation now.
Yeah.
These receivers watch the quarterbacks and want to play with the great quarterbacks. So,
but the Bills are just like beyond those other teams even right now. Like, there are not targets available in Cincinnati. Not many.
No, that's right.
Kansas City even brings in Marquise Brown, like, and Kelsey is still there. Like, there isn't a ton available there. The Bills have over 200 targets to replace.
The team that's most mentioned for Ayuk, I think, is Pittsburgh. And they just traded Deontay Johnson. They have George Pickens.
Yep.
They've changed things over at quarterback. You know, does he think about Pittsburgh? I don't know.
We know he likes that idea because he tweeted at Mike Tomlin.
He did. He might also just want who's going to pay me the most money. I mean, Leonard Floyd at Locker Clean Out for the Bills said he's going to follow the money, and he did. And there's nothing wrong with that. You're a professional athlete. You're a businessman. If Ayuk is guaranteed the most money by Team X, that has a pretty good quarterback, then that might do the job. So we'll see if he gets traded. Michael Silver reporting that he could be had for the right price, which is true of a lot of players. And for Ayuk, like, if they decide to lock that up, that means somebody else has to leave in San Francisco. They do pay a lot of money to Debo, McCaffrey, Trent Williams.
Mm-hmm.
They already pay big money to a lot of players on that
Kittle's
offense.
Kittle's got a big contract, yep, too. They've, man, their whole offense, I'm looking at it right now, their top, I mean, McCaffrey especially. McCaffrey makes more than any running back, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like $16 million is his normal cap hit. I don't know if that went down this year at all. Just, you know, the way they operate, they could trade Debo too, I've seen. That would be a pivot for them. If they want to, they could even have them coexist for a year. But after you get through a year, once Ayuk goes up a little bit and once you got to pay Purdy, then Debo is late into an extension when generally the number is even higher. I saw a good argument that if you are the 49ers, you do not trade Ayuk. What you do is you sign Ayuk, you let him and Debo play one more year together, and then 1 year from now you trade Debo Samuel.
Yeah.
You won't get as much value for him.
But you'll still have Ayuk.
But you'll have Brandon Ayuk.
So here's a question on trade up versus Ayuk for the Bills. And if you want to give us a call, 803-0550. It could be a Twitter poll. Which is the better big spend, okay? Here's your hypothetical. Trading up for, like, fine, Marvin Harrison Jr.
Okay,
or trading your first for Ayuk. In the case of Ayuk, you'd have a guy you know is good. Not that you would have much to fear with Marvin Harrison Jr. It just costs less. It costs less to do it.
To trade for Ayuk?
Yeah, just trading a first versus trading the first you have and a future first to go all the way up to get to number five. That costs a lot more draft capital. Ayuk costs a lot more actual dollars. And Kevin Cole, who we've had on the show many times, of the Unexpected Points podcast, Unexpected Points website, he tried a little thing out here where he used positional value and current NFL contracts. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And this doesn't get too complicated, but I think it's good context. We all know the rookie wage scale. Once they put the rookie wage scale in, the draft changed in a big way. Different positions became more valuable, where, okay, I can draft a running back at 8 overall. He's immediately the 7th highest paid running back.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad idea. I draft a receiver at 7th overall. He's the 112th highest paid receiver. That is good value. So we know this with quarterbacks. Caleb Williams. Why do quarterbacks get drafted 1-2-3? It's always quarterbacks. Why do quarterbacks get overdrafted? The answer is because if that guy's good, like C.J. Stroud right now,
mm-hmm,
what's his salary? It's
oh, it's
$30 million below,
yeah,
what it would be if you signed him today.
Yeah.
So that's a $30 million surplus. The Texans are cashing in big time on a rookie contract on an awesome quarterback. The Bills had this with Allen, right? When he's awesome, like, oh, this is amazing. Look at the cap hit on this guy for he's so good. So we accept that on quarterbacks you get a massive surplus. Kevin Cole puts the surplus on Caleb Williams at almost $40 million.
Mm-hmm.
You could call it surplus. You might as well call it savings, too, like cap savings almost. Drake May, $30 million surplus. Jaden Daniels, same. And then there's Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, who he puts in his top 10. And by his estimate, he's got Marvin Harrison Jr. as the best player in the class.
Mm-hmm.
If he were an NFL receiver that signed tomorrow, he'd sign for $25 million.
If he hit free agency,
yes,
tomorrow.
If he was a free agent, he'd get $25 million tomorrow.
Yeah.
Instead, it's about $8 million.
Yep.
$16 to $17 million in surplus,
mm-hmm,
because you have a guy that valuable on that contract. And to me, that's one thing about trading up to the top for a receiver that's not in the conversation nearly enough. Oh, it's always a bad idea to trade up like that. It's always a bad idea. Okay, if I do it, I'm getting a $16 million surplus on my cap, and while I don't have a first-round pick next year, I will have money to spend, basically, because of how much I am not paying a receiver that I've drafted at the top, and I won't be going out in free agency and signing another receiver, like an Emmanuel Sanders on a $9 million one-year deal because I need a body in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like Sanders, and he was good. But the trade-up idea has to come with the financials of it, which is, sure, it cost me a lot more on my draft capital, but from my cap room, from that standpoint, I'm opening things up.
Yeah. Well, that reminds me of the chart that came up the other day from Jason of Over the Cap, where if I'm saving $16 million by trading up for one of those top wide receivers, in theory, on my cap, that's how much I'm saving. Okay, I'm trading all of these picks, and a lot of those picks are cheap labor too, right, at other positions. But where can I get cheap labor outside of the draft? Because it's not receiver. You're not going to get productive wide receivers for cheap. Versus that chart that Jason from Over the Cap tweeted out, go look at linebacker, go look at running back, go look at center, go look at corner even, guard, safety, all of these positions, you can have them. You can go find a realistic option that can play on the field for you for like $5 million to $10 million. Like, you can go get a guy like for that money. Whereas at wide receiver and at the edge, this is somewhat true as well, left tackle, but receiver more than any of them, you can't do that. You can't say, I'm going to take $10 million and go get a guy who's going to produce for me at that position. You can do it at linebacker, running back, safety, guard, again, all those other positions that are more replaceable.
Yeah,
and a lot of those picks you'd be trading are just that. Like, instead of, you know, I'm trading a future fourth-round pick as part of my package, or I'm trading even a second-round pick. Okay, a second-round pick that, what if I use that second-round pick on a safety? Okay, I'm missing out on that safety, but I can go get Mike Edwards, or I can get Taylor Rapp, or I can go get a guy that's even like one level higher than that, and that's achievable. Like, I'm not sunk because I can't draft my second-round safety now. I can go find that. Receiver, you can't just go find like this.
803-0550. The Bears are super interesting. If you were Chicago, what would you do with the ninth pick? They only have four picks.
If I were Chicago, I would not care and just draft a Dunze.
You draft whoever's there at nine.
Yeah, I would draft,
because
yes.
To me, that's always one of the things about this, about the value charts and the trades. The value chart, we kind of stick to it with trades to a degree. But here's Chicago, and it feels like they should be ridiculed if they don't trade down based on the value charts, right? Everyone thinks more picks is better. Yet here's Chicago with four picks and also the fourth most draft capital. Yep. To me, it's kind of like pick one. What's better, more picks or higher picks? And, you know, there's areas in between. 803-0550, our phone number. Also today, we should mention this, walterfootball.com and also Benjamin Albright of KOA in Denver are effectively reporting the Bills have been trying to trade up, that they're laying the groundwork,
yep,
aggressively laying the groundwork to trade up for a receiver. It's thought for a receiver, maybe calling every team from 8 to 23. Like, all right, in case I need to get there, what's your price? You don't have to tell me who your guy is, but are you open to it? What's your price? What would you like for us to come to where you are?
And Albright's been, Joe even said it, Joe Marino, there's not many scoops on the Bills, but Albright has been on some of their stuff in the past. He was on Allen in 2018 that the Bills were trying to trade up for him. I found from a couple years ago that he was on too, that they liked Kyrie Elam. So he's been right on them in the past. And he's not even saying they'll do it, of course. He's saying they're trying to. Makes me really think that Brian Thomas is the most likely guy. On that board, the most likely player they'll end up with is Brian Thomas.
If we were to draft which receiver is most likely a Bill by Friday?
Sitting here right now, I draft Brian Thomas.
Your first pick is Brian Thomas?
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Brian Thomas does slot in with Bean talking to Pat McAfee at the Combine. Yeah, you come out here and see, you know, some guys only run three routes. That's Brian Thomas.
Right.
And you get out here and you see how they run and do different. So.
And also Malik Nabers said like a month ago that he thinks Brian Thomas will go to the Bills.
He did do that. Yes, he did.
He said that. And he just fits. He fits it all. They've talked about explosive plays repeatedly, right, since the end of the season. Well, they at least did at the end of the season.
Well, how wrong is it to say he would be your upgraded Gabe Davis? He's less likely to be a Diggs style and more likely to be the upgraded Gabe Davis. Listen to Joe Marino talking about the scouting profile on him, that he needs to get a little bit better in the short and the intermediate areas. That was the knock for Davis for the whole time he was here. Mm-hmm. He needed to do more of that, and that never really happened. Davis was, you know, a bit of your big shot, whether it's over the top or he showed up. Davis's first season, he was a down-the-field guy, and when I think about Davis really establishing himself as someone we thought about a lot, it wasn't the Kansas City game. It happened before that. Mm-hmm. It was the playoff game against the Colts. Toe-tapping Gabe Davis down the sideline on corner routes and just like working to the outside. And Brian Thomas Jr. just might be an upgraded version, in the Bills' eyes, an upgraded version of that. Not a perfect player, but someone that in this role can offer them a lot.
I see him, though, as... he already is kind of an upgraded Gabe Davis in terms of his profile, but I want to hold out hope for him because of the athleticism that he can morph into more than that. That there is growth potential with Thomas that was no longer there with Gabe Davis, especially in the last couple of years. Thomas, if you look at his charts at reception perception, like he ran the flat route, for instance. That's one of the shorter routes, right? The flat route. 1.1% of the time. He had 100% success rate on it, but he only ran it 1% of the time. Slants. He ran slants 20% of the time. 82% success rate. Really good. Curl. Same thing. 82%. Like, a lot of these short routes, he just never even ran it. So how much has he practiced it?
And that's...
how much have coaches worked on him with it? So I see him as, he might be Gabe Davis right now, but I'm not closed off to the idea that he can, Diggs maybe is a weird comparison because their athletic profiles are very different, but Leggett's often the guy that gets turned in compared to A.J. Brown. Can Brian Thomas turn into an all-around A.J. Brown-level receiver? I'm not closed off to that.
I think the main difference between Leggett and Brian Thomas in terms of why that comparison maybe is made for A.J. Brown but not for Brian Thomas is play strength. Like Leggett, whatever, he looks like a pillar. He's whatever.
Strong. He's got like the Metcalf workout pictures.
A little bit. Whereas Brian Thomas Jr., let me pull up a couple of comps for him.
I mean, he's quick, right? Like there's the quick twitch stuff. He's not, Leggett might run through you and then past you because he's so fast. Thomas is also fast. I mean, he actually ran a faster 40 than Leggett did. But if you watch some of his plays at LSU, when he's creating yards after the catch, like he will run around you. He will jab step left and then move to the right and he'll be by you. Like with a move, with a juke, basically. So I don't know that he can't do that, or maybe it's just that he has that extra, again, like I feel like he's just got all the tools. He's the tools guy.
And the Bills,
not that Leggett doesn't.
The Bills love tools guys.
Right. And not that Leggett doesn't. I think Leggett does. But I think Thomas just has all of that, and he's also, you know, 2.5 years younger than Leggett.
Yeah. 803-0550. Yeah, Matt Harmon's comp for Brian Thomas Jr. is DK Metcalf. Danny Kelly of The Ringer, his comp is Christian Watson.
Okay.
Like a vertical speedster.
See, Metcalf is not like, he is not someone that has fully formed like a whole route tree. It doesn't matter as much for him because he's so good at the stuff he's good at.
Which is, you know, the Bills could use somebody that's just so good at what he's good at.
True. No, for sure.
Ron and Alden. Hey, Ron, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Happy NFL Draft Eve. I don't know if that's a thing, but so you guys are talking about, like, you know, maybe cheap labor, maybe different things. I don't watch it, so I don't really know much about it, but the UFL does exist. They do have players. I wonder if there's any players that, if NFL teams actually watch those players, I imagine they do, but there's got to be some players there that might be better than what we might get in a fifth or sixth round or some surprise players. I don't know where the players come from, if they're just all never NFL drafted players or if they're how good they are. But maybe they look at a receiver or a player and say, hey, you know what? That guy probably would have been a good fifth-round pick or sixth-round pick in the NFL. Let's take a chance on him. I can't imagine they'd have to pay a guy a lot of money from that league. If they're even allowed to talk to him, I don't understand how any of it works with that league between the NFL. I know back way a long time ago, the USFL had really great players, but that's probably not comparable because it was different then. But just wondering if the UFL has players that, you know, if you know, might something interesting. Thanks. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Ron. UFL. There are a couple UFL players that are eligible for the upcoming NFL draft.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's possible?
Yes, that is possible.
You can play in the UFL and still be drafted in the NFL?
In some circumstances, yes.
Okay.
So there's a linebacker and a quarterback. Quarterback, Harrison Frost. Boy, that sounds like a guy in a movie, huh?
Harrison Frost, yeah.
Harrison Frost of the Seattle Sea Dragons is NFL draft eligible. Well, I'm sorry, this was last year.
Last year this was the case?
Last year two players were eligible, yes. Harrison Frost and Willie Taylor.
I mean,
neither was drafted. Taylor signed as a rookie free agent with the Jaguars. Frost had the opportunity for rookie camp with the Saints. So a lot of times, if you are not draft eligible, you can just sign as a free agent in most cases. And my rule of thumb on this would be, yes, there are going to be absolutely crazy outliers like Kurt Warner playing for the Iowa Barnstormers.
Yeah.
But if you tell me the Bills are signing someone from the UFL or the CFL, I am putting them down on the list of guys I do not think about.
I agree with that. Yep. Ever since Duke Williams was like the best player in the CFL, and then I heard about how good he was, and he was okay. Like, he played on the Bills.
Yeah, he's okay.
But, you know,
he was just a guy. Adam Schefter reporting moments ago that league sources say the Steelers are not likely to pick up the $25 million 50-year option on Justin Fields.
Okay.
Fields and Russell Wilson entering the last year of their contracts. That is a really interesting quarterback room to see how it plays out. And also, boy, Fields in free agency next year is going to break the internet. What should he get? What is he worth?
Yeah, yeah. Well, if he doesn't play,
does he get Derek Carr's contract? Right, if he doesn't play,
no way.
But if he puts up one good year,
what's a good year?
I don't know.
And when does he get in to get the good year?
That's a good question.
Like, Wilson is going to start the season. So, it's tough, you know? Like, if he plays six good games, what was Derek Carr's contract? I don't want to say it's impossible he could get that, but is someone going to go give Justin Fields a 5-year contract to come be their quarterback?
Look up Matt Flynn's contract in Seattle.
That was one game.
he got 3 years for $20 million. And that would have been, like, what, 15 years ago?
$20 million a year or $20 million total?
$6 million signing bonus, $10 million guaranteed. But it was off of, like, a game.
One game, yeah. He had, like, a 5-touchdown game against, like, backups. Yeah, I don't know. I wonder, I mean, if I'm the Steelers, too, well, I guess they give a 6-round pick. What does it matter? I was going to say, like, what's your deal here? Like, do you think Fields is someone you can grow into being your future starting quarterback? But they only paid a 6-round pick to get him. So, whatever, right? If he plays 3 games for them and they want to move on after the season, would they give up a late 6-round pick? Who cares?
803-0550. Sal, when we return, he's got his first mock draft up at WGR550.com. Draft Eve. Happy draft.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
After Eve, it's tomorrow. Are you ready? We are.
Make sure to get tickets for our draft party. 7:30 to 11:30 at Resurgence.
Everybody's going to be there. biggest party in America.
Yep.
Howard's coming.
Howard is coming.
Howard's coming.
Wow.
I cannot confirm if Lindy Ruff is going to come. Somebody asked me that, if Lindy's going to come. I don't know.
It's not impossible. He said yesterday he wants a wide receiver. Wait, did he? Or am I thinking somebody else said that?
You're thinking of me tweeting that he said that.
Oh, okay, you're right. You're,
obviously,
that is exactly what happened.
It was not serious.
Yep.
803-0550. Sal, next.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Sal Capaccio has his first mock draft up at WGR550.com. First and only, also up at the Sal Sports YouTube page, is the conversation with Mike North. You and Matt Bove got into it. Sal, we haven't had a chance to talk about it yet. It's exciting. Wait, did we talk about it yesterday? Maybe we did.
No. I wasn't on with you.
That's right. That's right. Because the Lindy stuff, we pushed a little bit of football for Lindy coming in, which was cool. Did you enjoy Lindy yesterday?
I did. I listened to the whole thing. I watched, actually, most of it and listened to some of it. And I did. I enjoyed it. He's just, he's changed a lot. He's changed physically, and he's changed, his style and, going back to Jersey the last couple of years. But I'm excited. I'm excited. And who knows if it's the right hire, but, it feels like the Sabres at least got the guy they wanted.
Yeah. Familiar. The whole thing felt familiar, which doesn't have to be bad. All right, Sal. So before we get to the mock draft, the Mike North conversation about NFL scheduling and, the number of times we expect to see the Bills in prime time. What else did you take away from your conversation that people can find?
When you talk to somebody who is just so incredibly knowledgeable at what they do, and not many other people do that thing, it's just so interesting, right? Like, how many people know how the NFL schedule actually works to put together and all the different parts at play? This is one of the very few people in the world who do. And to talk to Mike, as you guys know, over the last few years, getting a chance to talk to him, started talking to him, 5 years ago, maybe we had our first conversation, then it expanded. And now it's become a regular thing with Matt and I, and Mike and I have formed a relationship where I can, ask him questions about the schedule and feel comfortable about that. But it's just fascinating. And you really come away every time learning, okay. And I guess maybe understanding is the better word, Jeremy, about why they have to do certain things. For example, here's something I learned. So there's no minimum requirement for, putting a team on primetime anymore, right? There used to be. But there is a minimum requirement now of, let's say, the Bills being on CBS a certain number of times, because now you can be on CBS or Fox or whatever, because all those games are free agents. You know how that changed, right?
Yeah,
you can get a Bills-Dolphins game on Fox now. That actually happened a couple years ago. But because of that, they actually do still have requirements for CBS and Fox, because they're still the home, quote-unquote home, of AFC for CBS, NFC for Fox, that those networks still have to have minimums of the Bills on CBS or the Cowboys on Fox. But when I asked him, what are the minimums? He said it's fluid. It's fluid from year to year, and it's fluid over time. But yeah, that, that happens. But because they are still expecting to get their share of the Bills. Another thing is about protecting games. He said games in May. When the schedule comes out, there was a protection. There's always these rumors. Well, the Bills and Chiefs are playing on CBS at 4:25. They must have protected it. That does not work like that. The reason they'd be on CBS at 4:25 is simply because they're trying to take care of all their television partners over a lifespan of whatever years and saying, look, that game was on Sunday Night Football last year. We're not doing that again. That's not fair to CBS. We're going to give Monday night this one. They have to figure that out. And then when flex scheduling begins, that's when you can protect one game from being flex scheduled out of your window.
Okay. I also thought it was interesting, your conversation with Mike about the Texans game and what the Diggs factor does, because that game is juicy, but it already was pretty juicy.
That's right. It's exactly what he said, Jeremy. And Matt and I asked him, what's the revenge factor whenever you consider all of these kinds of things? And especially we're thinking about Diggs and the Houston Texans, and that's going to be a really big game. And he said, of course, you think about those things, it matters. With that game specifically, he said, didn't matter too much because it was already really highly looked at by the league. His example was, he said, that game didn't go from a C to an A. It went from an A minus to a solid A. Okay, guys, what does that mean? That game's going to be featured in a national window. Doesn't mean it's got to be prime time, Because primetime now, because that's the thing. Think about all these different windows and how they play now. It's, you know, obviously Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night. You have Saturdays on in December. You have a Black Friday game, a Christmas game. It can be any time here now to be considered like a prime time. So kind of the notion of prime time has to be readjusted and recalibrated because the league is readjusting how they do that. That game is going to be a national window game. I'm pretty convinced of it. I just don't know if it's going to be actually at night or not at night. And, you know, that was interesting. Christmas Day, they do not know who's going to play on Christmas Day. It's a Wednesday this year. But you have to, but think about this. What they're going to do is whoever plays on Christmas Day is also going to play the previous Saturday, which would be, I think, the 21st. Because you know, have those Saturday games. They have to do that. They're not going to put a team Sunday to Wednesday. Well, that means you got to have two different games on that Saturday because out of those four teams, two of them then have to match up on Wednesday so that you don't put a team on Sunday, Wednesday, if that makes sense.
How do you like the Texans for the opener? Anybody, anybody want that? Is it too good?
Primetime opener?
I mean, that's two AFC contenders. You know, the Chiefs
are
going to open.
Well, it could be a CBS 425 opener, too.
I mean, it's... That's tasty.
Yeah. Yeah. Are the Texans
the Bills
one
have opened?
Of the...
Go ahead, Joe.
I was just going to say
the Bills have opened the last 3 years on the road. I asked him if that matters.
Okay.
He said it can matter, but 2 years in a row generally doesn't get you to it really matters, if that makes sense.
I mean, the Bills have some really good matchups this year. Home games, Niners, Chiefs, of course, Dolphins in the division, but also the Jaguars are here. And then the road games, Houston is very juicy. Baltimore, Detroit. I mean, there's some really good potential matchups for any week, really.
The thing that
you know, Jeremy, he actually talked about the Bills 49ers game kind of unprompted, which was really interesting. Like, he was using examples, and he talked about that game. Like, that's a really big game. He's like, where do you want to put that? If you put it early in the season, you know, it's you know two teams coming off, you know, big playoff, you know, it playoff runs last year, and 49ers going to a Super Bowl, and the Bills haven't gotten there. Do you put it later because you could maybe be a Super Bowl preview if they're both in the same kind of position? But he did use that game as an example, which was
whatever weekend fantasy football is really tilting. I mean, those are two big fantasy teams, right, for everybody out there. So like a Sunday night Niners or a Monday night Niners, I would almost guarantee that's a primetime game here in Buffalo.
Especially if Brandon Ayuk ends up on the Bills somewhere.
Oh, revenge
somehow,
game.
Right?
Revenge game, right? Solid A. From an A-minus to a solid A now that it's a revenge game for Ayuk.
Okay, so real quick on that. He did say that, you know, they don't know the schedule yet. There's millions of computations that come out. He said they really do have to wait for the draft because something could happen in the draft that could alter something. So you might have an idea of where you want to put a game. Bam, something like that happens. Suddenly that game becomes a little different. You have to change it. He did give a timeline of the second week in May. We just don't know an exact date. But the schedule's not built yet. And there's a lot of different kinds of things that they might like about what they're seeing from the computer models. But yeah, nothing there yet. And they're going to wait for the draft for all that. It's really interesting. We went an hour and a half. And I said on the radio yesterday, I said on the Extra Point Show, and I'll say it again. If you're sitting around and you have an hour and a half and you're thinking about watching a movie, don't. Go listen to the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast with Mike North or watch it on video on my South Sports YouTube page. It's just awesome. I'm a schedule nerd. Maybe people don't get into it as much, but I'm just fascinated by learning how it gets made and what they think about.
And after you listen to that, check out Sal's mock draft at our website, WGR550.com. Your one and only mock draft, Sal. So you sifted through all the noise and decided to do what? You went no trades, right? Because
I don't do trades.
Okay, it's a different kind of mock draft. So it comes to 28, the Bills stick and pick. And what are your thoughts as we head to tomorrow for a mock draft at 28?
Okay, so I don't do trades because I just think once you do a trade, now you have a ripple effect, and now your whole mock is kind of messed up because you don't know who's going to trade. Even if I said, I do think the Chargers will trade out of five, like as I sit here. Like, who are they going to trade with? Is it the Vikings? Okay, if I do that, but what if I put it in my mock and they don't trade, now I'm screwing up two spots, if that makes sense. So I never do trades in my one mock. I just want to keep it as basic as possible because most teams are going to pick where they draft. And in my mock draft, I do say even, I think the Bills would love to trade up, especially if they see Brian Thomas Jr. falling to maybe around 20, which actually is where I have him going. I have him going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. As it gets to the Bills at 28, every receiver, the top four are off the board. Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Roma Dunze, and then Brian Thomas Jr. So they have their pick of a lot of guys. And the guy I went with, drum roll please, it is Xavier Worthy. I have the Bills selecting Xavier Worthy if they stay there. And look, I have no problem whatsoever with anyone saying, well, I would prefer Adonai Mitchell. I'd prefer Xavier Leggett. I'd prefer Ladd McConkey. That is all fair. I don't know if you can really kind of go wrong with any of that to think about that for the Bills. But let me tell you why I chose Xavier Worthy for the Buffalo Bills, okay? They have talked so much this year and this offseason, guys. I keep hearing every time I think about this and I do this exercise. Explosive plays, rack, ball in hand, explosive play. Sean McDermott saying, yes, teams are now forcing you to get the ball underneath and you have to have guys who can make plays with the ball in their hands. Not only is this guy the world record holder for the NFL Combine with a 4.21 40-yard dash, which means he can take the top off the defense, his best attributes are running with the ball in his hands and making explosive plays, making one guy miss and he's to the house. I just keep hearing Sean McDermott talk about, hey, the way defenses are playing, you get the ball to a playmaker, you make one guy miss, you're having an explosive play. It doesn't have to be throwing it over the top. And that's why he just keeps screaming it to me. Is he small? Yes, I know. He's only 165 pounds. I get that. I also don't think because of Joe Brady's offense and the system he wants to run. Joe and I did this the other day. Take a look at what Joe Brady does. He doesn't have maybe a true, you know, a guy that is just going to eat up all the targets. Now, I do know the, who did we have the other day that Robbie Chosen had, you know, 130-something. I get it, but it's spread out really around, and they're going to spread out a lot of targets here. I don't think they have to have Xavier Worthy come in and, you know, take this huge beating on his body the way they're going to use him. The other big, big tilt here is if I went through all these guys and said, I really like this guy or that guy, they all give me this, Ladd McConkey can be explosive. The last thing that tilts this to me, guys, this is one of the best punt returners in college football. The Bills don't have a punt returner right now. And if they want to bring him into the team and say, look, we're not going to waste our first-round pick. I know he might take a little while to get on the field. Guess what? He can still get on the field and help us as a punt returner. The guy is, you know, explosive, dynamic as a punt returner, maybe more than anybody else in this draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Sal. If I would say this over the last week or two, Worthy's name has been climbing into the first round more regularly, and I've seen him mock to the Bills more in the last week or so than I had at any other point. It's almost like it was Brian Thomas Jr. for a good stretch, and then it became A.D. Mitchell, and now it seems like Worthy is maybe not most often, but more often mocked to the Bills. So, all right, tomorrow we find out.
And then today what I'm going to do, guys, is I do think, and I heard your report about Walter Football. Did they say specifically what the Bills – there wasn't a specific thing.
It's just right, Walter Football, and Benjamin Albright said he's hearing it as well.
Okay.
The Bills are laying the groundwork to prepare to trade up. It's thought to be for a receiver, Brian Thomas Jr. or Xavier Worthy.
Well, I don't know if you have to – could you stay there for Xavier Worthy? I don't know.
Good
I will
question.
Say this. Today on Extra Point Show, we're going to have Ryan Wilson from CBS. Did you guys see his mock? I reached out for him to him on purpose.
I did not.
Ryan Wilson has Brian Thomas Jr. falling to 28 to the Bills, and then the Bills take him at 28. So there is a thought that maybe you don't have to do that. Anyway, the point is, what I've already done, and I'm going to put this out later today, I've actually identified like four different teams I think the Bills could actually trade up with and why they would maybe want to do that, the other team, and what it might cost the Bills to do that. So I'll have that a little bit later today on the website as well.
All right. Thanks, Sal.
You got it.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. It is the day before draft day. Jeremy and Joe taking your calls on the draft and also on Lindy Ruff's return as head coach of the Sabres. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Time for Acropolis Opa Comeback Trivia. Joe's got this one.
Be the first caller to correctly answer today's trivia question at 716-221-4WGR. Win a $50 gift card to Acropolis Opa.
Acropolis is back and located on Main Street in Williamsville. Open every day from 8 to 4. Acropolis Opa.
All right.
Comeback question, what is it? I do not know this yet. I'm excited to answer it.
So Lindy Ruff is back.
Comeback.
He's back. Who is Lindy Ruff's all... Let me put it this way, actually. Who is the only player that Lindy Ruff coached for the Buffalo Sabres that was over a point a game? One guy with Lindy as his head coach was over one point a game for the Sabres. Who was it?
All right. First correct caller to 2214WGR wins the $50 gift card to Acropolis.
I had another one, but I thought it was too difficult.
Okay.
I'll give this one to you. Who is the only player that played for Lindy in Buffalo and then did for one of his other teams?
Real quick clarification. Is this with the Sabres or ever?
With the Sabres.
With the Sabres. Yeah. Only 1 point per game player ever with the Sabres.
Yep.
First correct caller, 2214WGR. I've got a guess. We got to go to a break. We'll get a break in. Get the answer. Congratulations to our winner in advance, Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.